Right, if you've got your Bibles with you guys, 2 Chronicles 20, you're going to need your Bibles because I'm going to sort of talk us through this sort of passage. So it's a fabulous passage of scripture. Since the teaching team, we got together and this was my choice. Somebody's phone, switch your phones off. It wasn't mine, was it? No. Oh, you need your phone for your Bible. Sorry, I do apologise. Two Chronicles, chapter 20.
What page is it? 584.
Have you got it?
5-2.
Kings, Chronicles. Have you got it? Good. Yeah, 2 Chronicles chapter 20.
Verse 1,
sorry, yeah. Yeah, just to get you a little bit of sense of where we're at, Jehoshaphat was being appointed king, and he was a good king, and obviously he came into power, and then we start at 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1. It says this: some people came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the Dead Sea. Wonder what he felt like when a vast army is coming against you. And you know, I think sometimes we can feel like that ourselves, that, you know, we're under pressure. There's a vast army appears to be against us. Everything seems to be coming our way. Do you notice that when you're watching the news, it just feels a bombardment of problems and difficulties, not just in the UK, but it's worldwide. And you know, in some senses, it just pulls us down. And I'm trying to avoid a lot of the news now, although I can't avoid the news because I'm a news buff and I like to know what's going on in the world. But I think if you get sucked into it too much, it can just drag you down and it bombards you and you feel battered. But it's not just in the news that's going on, it's in our personal lives as well. We can feel bombarded with our problems and difficulties because they're ongoing, they don't seem to be going away. And the enemy, who's like a roaring lion, he's not a pussycat, he's a roaring lion going about trying to just consume us and trap us. That's what he does. And so it's easy for us to get bombarded. So imagine what Jehoshaphat felt when he got this news that a vast army was coming against us. He was alarmed, it says. But Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. You know, we've been doing about the way of life, and we've been talking about prayer, and we've been talking about fasting. And I don't know if anybody of you have brought in some of the disciplines of those things that we talked about in the way of life, but fasting is one of them. And I'd like to just encourage you in that. And it doesn't have to be a whole long thing. It might just be a short period. It might not necessarily be food, but something that you actually lay to one side so that you can actually focus on God. It's important. When we think about fasting, we normally think about food. And probably in this case, this is what this was about. So Jehoshaphat called the people together to fast and pray. It was important. So the people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. And you know, that's important when they all came together. Community is so vital. And we've been talking a lot about community. We're not lone rangers. We can't survive on our own. We need to be together. That's why fellowship is so, so important. We don't just meet every Sunday for the fun of it because we've got nothing else to do. We don't just meet for the prayer meeting because it just fills another hour. No, it's about getting together in community, being together, because when we come together, worshiping together, it's more powerful. Individual worship is great. There's nothing wrong with that and we should do it. But when we come together in harmony, we all bring a piece of the jigsaw and it just lifts and ignites. It was great to see Mason singing this morning. Yeah? Let the little children come. Let them. It'd be great. I just love it. We don't say, oh, sorry, you haven't got a singing voice, or, you know, you're too young. No. We're all together. Community is vital. And so worshiping, standing together, praying together. House groups. There's a list over there. I don't know whether we're going to pass it around later. We did talk about leadership, about passing it around. If you're not in a house group, get yourself in a house group in the week. Instead of watching Coronation Street, get to your house group. It'll do you more good. It'll build you up. It'll encourage you. Does anyone still watch Coronation Street? Oh, no. Anyway, we'll leave that there. Anyway, so they came together, and then it says, Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in the front of the courtyard and said, "The Lord, the God of our ancestors, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you." Has God changed? No. He's exactly the same today. He's still in charge of everything that we're involved in your life, in my life, in what's going on in the world. Nothing fazes him. And then he goes on, "Our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend?" Isn't it lovely to be called a friend of God? Hey, are you glad you're a friend of God? I am. Wow. "They have lived in it and have built in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, 'If calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name, and we'll cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us and save us.'" No matter what, God is for us. No matter what, God is for us. So many stories in the Bible where we see God is for us. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire. Was God with them? Of course he was. Daniel in the lion's den, he was with them. You and me today, maybe we're not going to face famine. Maybe we're not going to face earthquake. But God is with us. "I will never leave you nor forsake you." In your situation, in your circumstance, that's the promise of God. So then it goes on. "But now, here are men from Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when they came to Egypt. So they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they are repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession you gave us as an inheritance. Our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that's attacking us. We don't know what to do. But our eyes are on you." And that's the key. Have you ever said, "I don't know what to do? I just don't know what to do in this situation. I don't know what to do in these circumstances. God, I don't know what you're doing in these circumstances. But my eyes are on you." There's an old song which says, "When the road is rough and steep, fix your eyes upon yourself." No. "When the road is rough and steep, fix your eyes upon Jesus. He alone has power to keep. Fix your eyes upon him." And so often we don't. We're fixing our eyes upon our problems. We're fixing our eyes upon our circumstances. We're fixing our eyes upon what's going on round about. And God says, "Look, forget all those things. I'm in control. Just fix your eyes upon me. Let me be central to everything in your life. Let me be the first thing in your life. Let me be top of the agenda. Fix your eyes upon him." "So all the men of Judah, with their wives, the children, and the little ones, stood before the Lord." Another community. We see that again. "Then the Spirit of the Lord came on Jehaziel as he stood in the assembly." Don't we want more of that? The Spirit of the Lord coming upon us. Expect the Spirit of the Lord to come upon you. Not just on a Sunday, but just wherever you are in your circumstances as you're seeking him. Let the Spirit of the Lord come upon you. "He said, 'Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's.'" The battle is not yours, but God's. Say that to your own circumstance, whatever you're facing today. "This isn't my battle, Lord. I'm giving it to you. You're in control. God is working out all things, all purposes for good." How is good coming out of that? "This is a mess, Lord. Good's not in this." Yes, it is. You can't see the full picture. I can't see the full picture. I don't understand why God doesn't just come in and zap. But he doesn't. He does it in his own way. But it's things that are working together to bring us to maturity, to bring us to knowing who God is, to trust him through circumstances and situations. Then we look back and say, "God, you are good." And when you get to my age, you can look a bit further back than some of you guys. But trust me, it's true. I can look back and see the hand of God in my life. Have I made mistakes? Have I messed up? Have I done things my own way? Certainly. Will I do things my own way again? Probably yes. Still trying to learn. And we'll never stop learning until glory. But wherever possible, it's getting into my head the knowledge that God is in control and he wants the good for me. And he wants the good for you. God is good. The scripture says, cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. That's why we're weighed down. Because we get weighed down with cares and worries and depression, and we go down and down and down into the tubes. That's why the beauty of being a Christian and knowing a fellowship with God lifts us above other people. It doesn't mean that we never have problems. It doesn't mean we never have mental health issues or those sort of things. But we should have far, far less, because our focus is on God and he's supreme. It doesn't mean we'll never have problems and have difficulties. But in all of it, we know that God is working out his purposes and working out his good. And this is what he said, that the prophecy said, carry on. He said, tomorrow, march down against them. Do you know this story? Does everybody know this story? It's a great story. If you don't, read it. I've been reading it. They will climb up by the Mount Pass of Ziz. You'll find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeruel. Jeruel there means vision of God. So they're going to find them in the gorge, and they're going to see the vision of God. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions. Stand firm. See the deliverance the Lord will give you. Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go to face them tomorrow. The Lord will be with you. Jehoshaphat bowed down with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down in worship before the Lord. Then some Levites from the, I can't do these pronunciations, Kehathites and Korites, God knows who they were anyway, doesn't he? Stood up and praised the Lord God of Israel, with a very loud voice. In the face of adversity here, what did the people do? Did they run away? No, they fell down in worship and praised God with a very loud voice. You see, the devil wants to shut us up. I'm not a quiet person. You probably gathered that by now. I'm not a quiet person. You may be a quiet person, and that's fine. But I think God wants to open your mouth a little bit. He wants you to let it out a little bit. You know, no one's going to... You're in a safe place here. No one's going to knock you down. Shout it out with a loud voice. Let it come out. Let it come out. The Bible says, out of your belly. And that doesn't mean your stomach's rumbling. It means out of your belly. It means deep within you will flow rivers of living water. And when it's a river, you can't stop it. It just, woof, it comes out. And let me encourage you today to just let the Spirit of God come out of you. Don't just rely on one or two. Maybe you see the same people maybe at the front. You know, that doesn't mean you can't. God can just, he can use you. He wants to use you. And you've got giftings within you. And God wants you to let them out and use them for the benefit of the people. You see, the devil wants to shut us up. He says, no, you didn't mean, no, that's just you. That won't mean anything to anybody. It might just be the spark that just, shumph, that just answers the problem. You know, in the scripture it says there, when Jesus was coming into Jerusalem, and, you know, the people were shouting, and he said, oh, just, you know, tell these people to be quiet. And what did Jesus say? He said, if these people are quiet, the stones are going to cry out. I don't want these chairs or this floor all of a sudden exploding with praise to God. I don't think it'll happen, because we're really good at praising. And you've probably seen this over the last few weeks as we've changed the service round. It's something's different, isn't it? When we've actually just cemented what we're doing. And so the people fell down and worshiped God. And we need to do that. Don't be afraid of falling down. Don't be afraid of shouting out. So early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa. And Tekoa means trumpet, which again just excited me. We're going to blast the enemy. That's what it really means. We're going to really give it a good blast, a trumpet. I think we were talking last week about Sue coming with a whatever they call it. What's it called? Shofar. Yeah, and just giving it a real blast. And that's what we need to do, blast the enemy. And that's what we're doing with our praises. We're just blasting him. So we're going to read a pretty long portion here now, but it's well worth it. So they set out. Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me, Judah and the people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld, you and me too. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful. After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for his splendor of holiness. And they went out ahead of the army, saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, his love endures forever." As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. The Ammonites and Moabites rose up against the men of Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. After they'd finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped to destroy one another. What a, that's unbelievable, isn't it? Imagine if Mark was here today. He's not here. They've gone to a family event. But if I said to Mark, "You're the captain, Mark. You're out in Afghanistan. What are we going to do?" Oh, I'll tell you what. We'll put the choir out front. What? Have you gone mad? Just ridiculous, wasn't it? Ridiculous. The choir went in front of the army. But what happened? The people just... they just started fighting all amongst themselves. When the men of Judah came to the place that overlooks the desert, they looked toward the vast army. They saw only dead bodies lying on the ground. No one had escaped. So Jehoshaphat and his men went to carry off the plunder. They found among them a great amount of equipment, clothing, and articles of value, more than they could take away. There was so much plunder, it took 3 days to collect it. On the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Baraka, where they praised the Lord. That is why it is called the Valley of Baraka to this day. And Baraka means blessing, the Valley of Blessing. Then, led by Jehoshaphat, all the men of Judah and Jerusalem returned joyfully to Jerusalem, for the Lord had given them cause to rejoice over their enemies. They entered Jerusalem and went to the temple of the Lord with harps and lyres and trumpets. The fear of God came on all the surrounding kingdoms when they heard how the Lord had fought against the enemy of Israel. And the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace, for God had given them rest on every side. It's a fantastic story, absolutely brilliant story. And you know, it just encourages me today that we, with our praise and worship, are bringing down strongholds. We're bringing down strongholds of the enemy. Personal strongholds, but worldwide strongholds. We can touch worldwide things today. We can. We can touch worldwide things. And it's just amazing what we can do as we pray, as we worship, as we just seek God and we come into his presence together. And that's what we're doing. Remember, the enemies of Jehoshaphat were in the valley and the desert of Jeruel. Vision of God. And I don't know what they saw, but they saw a vision of God. Something they saw there frightened the living daylights out of them. And they started killing each other and they killed each other. Do you know, when we praise and worship, I don't know what the enemy sees or what he experiences. But it's powerful because God is in charge. God has the final word. As we worship today and as we praise today, we're sending the devil into confusion. We're sending the enemies into confusion. Defeat. We're going to win our battles. God's in control of your problems and my problems and situations, and we are victorious. A couple of weeks ago when Mike spoke, he talked about God opening doors. God was going to open doors. And today, it's happening. Doors are opening. I don't know if you knew about Tom last night, but Tom in his new house couldn't get into his bedroom. So after 10 o'clock last night, there was all sorts of messages going around. I'm stuck outside. I can't get into my bedroom. What are we going to do? The handle had broken. They had to sleep on a spare bed. And you know, sometimes life can feel a bit like that. What am I going to do? These doors won't open. I know it's a practical situation, but in our physical situation, nothing seems to be happening. I've been trying to open this door for a long, long time and nothing's happening. Is God going to open the door? Of course he's going to open the door. He's a God of faithful who will open the door. Walls are crumbling down. We've seen that in Jericho. Walls of problems and situations that we face crumbling down. God is going to do things. Sin is defeated. People being set free. Bodies being healed. Order being restored. If ever the world needed order, restoring, it's now, isn't it? Praise God that God is going to restore order. I don't know how he's going to do it and when he's going to do it. He will do it when he comes. And order is restored. But right now, we are told to pray for those in authority over us. So I know we moan and groan about our government, but we should be praying for them. We should be praying for these guys. I wouldn't have that job for a gold clock. But we need to be praying for them. We're told to do it, whether we agree with them or not, that God in some way would just restore order. But God wants to restore that order. So as we work together today as a community, as OCF, we're a force. We are a force for good. I don't know how many people were in that choir, but there's a number of people here, enough to force that enemy back. We are a force for good, a force for change, a victory over the darkness. We're dynamic. You may not feel dynamic, but we are dynamic in our worship. Change is happening. God's kingdom comes. His will is done on earth, right here, personally, collectively, as it is in heaven. So we're going to do that. We're going to worship God. And as we worship God, it's not just another song singing session. It's an engagement with the living God. A personal engagement, a community engagement. And as we do that, we don't necessarily see with our physical eyes what's happening, but believe in your spirit what is happening in your personal situation, in our collective situation, in the world situation, whatever's on your heart, yeah? Then lift that to the Lord as we worship together. Adrienne's just going to come and introduce a song that we're going to listen to, and then we're going to worship together. Thanks, Adrienne.